Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're going to start the class today, and I'm recording, so Sharia, raising doubts about Islam. Among these doubts or stereotypes is about Sharia. Sharia is too harsh. We answered that Sharia is not fair. We can make better laws. Okay, or Sharia is 1400 years old and life is changing. Okay? So, let's talk about legislation first. Actually, who produces law? Who makes laws? What are the two alternatives of making laws? One alternative is man-made laws, and the other alternative is what? Allah's made laws, right? Now, let me ask you a question. If our laws are not made by Allah, then they will be made by what?
Man
or humans. Now, do you have any other alternative? Do you have any country in the world that doesn't have laws?
No.
Do you know any nation that doesn't have laws? Do you? Can you name a nation that doesn't have laws? Can you name a nation that doesn't have laws? No nation. So we have to have laws, right? Agreed or disagreed?
Agreed.
So we have to have laws. Then these laws have to come either from God or be made by us. Do you have any third alternative?
No.
If you reject the laws coming from God, then what's the other and only alternative?
Man-made
laws, right?
That's right.
So then that's it. You basically are saying, I reject. So laws are either man-made and Allah's made. So if you reject one, you get the other. Now, what is wrong with man-made laws? What's wrong? Go ahead.
Well, I don't know, but like, usually they focus on man itself. Like, it doesn't focus on religion. It's like, basically like, oh, you know, if you kill this man, then you get life sentence. It's not like religion. Like, it's not fair sometimes, man-made laws.
Yes, it's not fair. But there is another thing. First of all, it's not fair. Why isn't it fair? Because it will always be written to serve a specific segment of the society. So, who is the only one that can write laws fair to everybody?
Allah.
When humans write laws, they are biased. So they write them to serve the best interest of certain segment of the society. And this will lead me to ask you a question. The capitalism or laws in a capitalist country or a country that are the country that runs based on capitalism, which is the United States, the laws are written to serve which segment of people, society?
Businesses,
which is rich people, okay? It's to serve the people who have more money. You say, how come?
Because they
have more money. Because they can lobby, they can spend money on lobbying and changing the laws. Right or wrong?
Right.
Now, you and me are the majority middle class citizens. Do we have the ability to change laws?
No.
No, why not? Exactly. I was involved in some kind of lobbying, and the guy to attend the lobbying meeting and be convinced, to convince you to vote for, I think it was Proposition 37 at that time, Proposition 37, that changes the law. So they were campaigning and lobbying for it. Okay? Guess what was the... What would be your gift if you come and attend? They make draws for laptops. So if you attend and they have like 20 laptops to give away, they say, okay, after you attend the lobbying meeting and we present to you the advantage of our proposition, then we will make a draw, random draw, and give 20 laptops away. Now, you middle-class citizen, can you do that?
No.
Good luck. You see? So, the people who have the money have the power to change the laws. We average middle-class citizens can't lobby. We don't have the financial resources. Now, in order to be a president of the United States, you must have at least $100 million in your bank account. Start with. Can a middle-class citizen be a president?
No.
No, it's not possible. It's
allowed. Assalamu
alaikum.
Were they on timeout?
Huh?
These girls were on timeout?
No.
They're sitting at the desk outside.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
And
Noor.
Where's the third one? Noor? Where's the other one? Number three of you, right?
See, Lina, Sarah, I told you to go get them.
No, why should they're responsible girls? Why should they be outside?
Because Shaitan is so clever. Sometimes Shaitan talks people into things that out of the norm.
So an angel has to go bring them in?
No, they have to have a built-in conscience that will move them towards coming to class, right? And they are, by the way, they are excellent girls. Excellent girls. That's an exception. This is just like every once in a while, Shaitan does whispering.
Overcomes them.
Yeah.
I have to, you know, next week, do you have, can we take the kids for a separate session?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Sister Nasreen is organizing something on Haya.
Mm-hmm.
Our topic,
Haya. Yeah, we had it last year.
Yeah. So this is by someone else, not by her. Someone from guest lecture is going to come and talk. So 10:55, right? As soon as you finish your Quran class, I am thinking it's going to be in Mother's Lounge, but at least go check in office. So we'll start sharp at 11, and I'll get your breakfast, whatever, the snacks there, okay? Including you, okay, inshallah. So where will you be? Mother's Lounge, if you can find me, check with the office. She will know.
May Allah bless you, sister. All right. So we're talking about Sharia. And the first point we mentioned quickly, the point is the man-made laws, if you have two alternatives, either man-made laws or laws made by Allah. If you reject the man-made laws, then what's the other alternative that you have to accept? Divine laws, Allah's laws. If you reject Allah's law, then what's the other alternative? Man-made law. So basically, if you don't accept Allah's made laws, you are accepting man-made laws. So you're saying, man can do better job than Allah, right? We can do a better job. Let's see why we can't do a better job. Number one, we can't do a better job because the man-made laws are written to serve a specific segment of the society. Okay? A specific segment. And it's not written to be fair for everybody. Allah created all of us. He will write laws that are fair for everybody. But man will write laws that is customized to be more biased towards a specific segment of the society. And we give an example about capitalism. The laws in a capitalistic country, just like the United States, is written to serve the people who have the capital, which is the money. How is that possible? Because they have the money to campaign and change laws. They have the resources to do that. You and me are middle-class citizens. We don't have money to lobby or do anything, so we can't change the laws. But they can do that, right? I give you an example of Proposition 37. When they were lobbying for it, they said if you attend the lobbying session, there will be draw for 20 laptops, and we'll take your name randomly, and you might get a laptop.
Does anyone know what room this is? What
Okay. This is room two, but the room you'll be in is different. Get it from the recording. Okay. So now the second thing is that they say Sharia is 1400 years old. And life is changing. Life is changing. So you can't apply laws that are written 1400 years today. Makes sense, huh? But there is a false part in here. I mean, for the shallow thinkers, they will agree. But for the deep thinkers, they will be able to reply to that. What do you think the reply should be? Huh?
Some American laws are based off of things in Roman times.
That's one question. That's one answer, which is good. Huh? Good answer. It's indicative to the main answer, which is, what do you think should we answer when they say laws are written 1400 years ago, life changes, then laws have to change. Sharia laws are written 1400 years ago, they are rigid, they don't allow for life new changes in life and human life style. And the answer is, that's not true, because Sharia is not rigid all the way. Sharia is rigid in the laws of nature and flexible in the laws of on the changing nature, on the changing situation. How? As far as the human life, let's get the part of the human life that doesn't change, which is based on the laws of nature. There has to be a man and a woman, right? Okay, they have to have a relationship between them, right? This relationship has to have laws, right? Okay, so here we go. These laws that have to do with the relationship between them must control the moral side. What's the moral side? That relationship, this specific relationship, can't be between any man and woman. They have to be certain relationship between them. And this relationship will not change. So there always have to be a man married to a woman and living in a cave or tent or house or apartment. This doesn't change with time and place. There are certain aspects of human life that don't change with time and place. A man and woman married and living in a house, in a shelter, in an apartment, in a tent, in a cave, okay? But this doesn't change. And then, families living together will make neighbors, right? So there has to be laws that tells me where my freedom ends and where the freedom of my neighbor starts, right? Where is the boundary between my rights and the rights of the neighbor? Got it? So now we said a family, then there has to be a family law. Neighbors, then they have to be laws among neighbors. Then those neighbors get together and make a society, right? This society must trade in the market, right? So here is the business law, trading. And then they must trade in the market and they must have a government. So here is political laws, okay? And power struggle. So these aspects of human life not changing. So they shouldn't be changing. And mainly they are based on moral values. They are based on what? Moral values. So moral values don't change with time and place. Moral values don't change with what? Time or place. So whatever is haram, whatever is immoral yesterday, it's immoral today. Whatever was immoral 1400 years ago, it's immoral today. For example, stealing. Can I say it's immoral yesterday, but it's moral today? No. Cheating? No. Okay. Moral values. Having a relationship with somebody which is cheating on your wife. Having an affair. Whether you're a wife or a husband. Can this be immoral before and moral today? No. You understand what I'm saying? The moral laws don't change. So Sharia is rigid in moral laws. So you can say Sharia is rigid and determining what is moral and what is immoral. You got that very well? You got that? So whatever was immoral, whatever is immoral in China, it is immoral in United States. Whatever is immoral in Nevada should be immoral in California. Whatever is immoral 3 billion years ago must be immoral today. Stealing, lying, cheating, having an affair, cheating on your wife, cheating on your spouse, cheating on your partner, playing dirty politics, you know dirty politics, which is hitting under the belt. You hit your political opponents under the belt. It's called a dirty politics. This is immoral yesterday. It's immoral today. It's immoral everywhere. So the Sharia is rigid into these things. So it says, it's haram to cheat. It's haram to have an affair. It's haram to do steal. It's haram to lie. It is haram to take advantage of others. It is haram to play dirty politics. It is haram to backbite. It is haram to gossip. It is haram. This doesn't change. Now, let's look at the alternative laws, the man-made laws. I'm going to give you an example that makes you laugh. Lol. Example that will make you lol. What is that example? It's really, really lol kind of example that shows you how ridiculous are man-made laws. Who has been to Lake Tahoe before? Huh? You've been to Lake Tahoe? Yes. All right, let me tell you about something in Lake Tahoe that would make you lol. Okay? Here is Lake Tahoe. There is part in Nevada and part in California, right? Between them is a street called State Line. This is called State Line. Yeah. Okay, now, as I mentioned before, in capitalism, the laws are driven by the money. The laws are driven by the economy, by the money, right? Because it's capitalism. So the money, the rich people will control. Now, the economy of Nevada is based on what? Gambling, casinos, entertainment industry, basically, right? Entertainment industry. You agree with me? Gambling in Nevada, is it moral or immoral? Or in other words, is it legal or illegal?
Legal.
It is halal or haram? Halal. Gambling in Nevada is halal by the man-made law.
Do you mean like as Muslims or like as like no other people?
Think? I am comparing Sharia to the American law.
Oh.
I am comparing.
Okay.
Yes. Let's say legal and illegal. In Islam, legal is halal, illegal is haram. Right? And other than Sharia, there's a difference. Legal and illegal doesn't have anything to do with morality. It has to do with, it's not controlled by morality, it's controlled by money. Now in California, the economy of California is dependent on what?
Technology.
Exactly, technology. Okay, so now let's talk about gambling. Gambling. Gambling is legal in California and it's illegal in Nevada. Is that the other way around? It's legal in Nevada, it's illegal in California. You have two hotels right across the street from each other. Hotel A and Hotel B. Wallah, you just crossed the street. This hotel, gambling is legal, and this hotel, gambling is illegal. ridiculous. So if you're driving northbound, you know, and you're gambling, it is legal. And then you make a U-turn, it becomes illegal. LOL! You know what is more lol than that? Having illegal relationships using money in exchange of money, having relation, male-female relationship in exchange of money, like a guy will go to a woman and pay her a certain amount of money and enjoy the relationship that he enjoys with his wife, which is called PROSTA, whatever you call it. It's legal in Nevada, and it is illegal in California. So when you have somebody in the street, you know, bad girls who stay in the street in California, and then they wait for bad guys to come over and then says, hey, I'll give you $100 and spend the night with me. She says, okay, deal. Then he pays her the $100, she spends the night with him. That's in California, is illegal. So they have undercover cops, they do that. And then they arrest the people who do these kind of things. So the undercover cop, male cop, would do that, say, hey, I want you to spend the night with me for $100. She says, yes, she's arrested. And then the other way around, an undercover cop, female, would stand in the street, and any guy that comes saying, hey, I'll give you $100 to spend the night with me, if he says that, then he's arrested. Right? Because it's illegal in California, yes. If the same thing happens in Nevada, it's perfectly legal. It's perfectly legal. Actually, there are, you don't even have to go on the street. There are 800 numbers.
Seriously?
Yeah. You can, 800 numbers, select the one that looks beautiful to you, and then you call the number and say, I want her to spend the night with me, and then you give them pay with credit card or whatever, or cash when she comes. And this is legal. And then she has to pay taxes on this income. Do you believe that? LOL! This is legal in Nevada. This is illegal in California. So basically, if a bad girl is standing here trying to do this kind of business, then the police will try to arrest her. All what she has to do is jump into the other side and say, nah, 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 you can't arrest me. I am really puzzled about Lake Tahoe police. What is Lake Tahoe police is going to do? If you have a bad girl in your car and you're going to the Nevada side and bound north, it's legal. But shoot, if you miss the turn and you want to make a U-turn, then you make a U-turn, then you get caught. Lol. Right? Man-made laws are ridiculous. Ridiculous. Why? Because they are driven, the moral laws are driven by economy. As I said before, capitalism is written to serve the money. So the people who gamble casinos, the owners of casinos in Las Vegas, they want people to come. They want to attract bad guys to gamble, or whatever guys, normal guys, to gamble and to have the bad relationship with bad women for money, in exchange of money. Okay? In California, it's illegal, so if it happens, nobody would pay taxes. But in Nevada, the woman must pay taxes. She is like, she is accountable to the tax, state tax, to and federal tax, that she has to pay taxes for them. Actually, Nevada doesn't have state taxes. But that's an income that she has to report. You got it? LOL. Do you see the difference? Would this ever be possible in a Sharia? In Sharia? Would Sharia ever say it's halal to gamble and have money business relationship driven business driven chemistry or whatever you want to call it? Sharia will never say that it's haram in Nevada but halal. I'm sorry, haram in California but halal in Nevada. Why? Because what is immoral does not change with economy. Sharia doesn't care about economy. Sharia cares about morality. You got it? Once you change that, you become ridiculous. Ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. You conflict yourself in that. This Lake Tahoe example is the Lol example that demonstrates to you how ridiculous is it when you go into man-made laws versus when you go with Sharia. Then, what is flexible in Sharia? So Sharia is rigid about in man and determining what is moral and what is immoral, unlike Lake Tahoe Lol. Ridiculous law in Lake Tahoe. Okay? Now, how about Sharia is flexible in what? Sharia is flexible when moral laws are respected. So, what is immoral in business? For example, if you're running business. If you're running business, we have riba and we have monopoly. Both are haram in Sharia. Why? Because it's unfair to the poor. It's unfair to the hard-working class. It's fair to the people who own the capital. Why? I loan you money. I loan you $1,000 today. I cash them $1,500 after a certain amount of time. It's not fair that I take advantage of your needs. So that interest, which is riba, specific riba, not every interest is a riba, but that riba is immoral, so it is haram. Monopoly is haram when you take a monopoly of a certain product and you do what? No, you do raise the price, control the price to take advantage of the people. Like when you have monopoly over water, for example. That can sell water.
So then you raise the prices when they have.
Yes. So that's immoral in Islam. That's immoral and haram in Islam. How about other than that? Go ahead.
Which one will you pay? So there's this one place near us. It's like a falafel house and everything. Basically, it's halal and everything. But they also sell beer, and basically they live their income off of that. Which would it be under, riba or monopoly?
Oh, that would be immoral. Selling alcohol is immoral in Islam, which is haram.
So it'd just be haram. So
it's haram money, and when the income is mixed, haram with halal, it becomes overall haram.
Okay, so would it be under any of those, riba or monopoly?
Yes, under moral laws, which is drinking. Whatever is haram to do, it's haram to sell. That is in Sharia. Whatever is haram to do is haram to sell. Whatever is haram in Sharia is haram in business. So in Islam, the value of alcohol is zero. So if a bottle of alcohol is caught, Sharia will throw that bottle away in the trash. Because Sharia does not give a value for any product that is haram. So if you seize or confiscate alcohol, for example, that doesn't have a value. You just throw it. You destroy it. And the guy, the owner, doesn't get any money back. Okay? Unlike some kind of hypocrisy in other systems that they say, well, you cannot drink and drive. So I had really a proposal about that I wished to be considered, but I don't have money to lobby for it. Okay, I don't want my life to be threatened in the street by drunk drivers, right? It is not fair. Is it fair for me to get in a car accident just because of a drunk guy? Is it fair? Is it fair to me that a drunk guy will run, if I bike with my kids, a drunk guy, a drunk driver can run over us and kill us? Is it fair for me? It's not fair. Now, at the same time, they want to say, we will have this guy have the right of freedom. Freedom to drink. Yes, this guy have a freedom to drink. But they say now he doesn't have the freedom to drink and drive. Yes, but the reality says what? The reality says that people do drink and drive. So what you want to do, to be fair, is to do what I was thinking about, is to have areas, like we have now areas of smoking, right? Do you remember the areas of smoking that you have everywhere, that you can go to this area and smoke? Okay, we can have similar areas for drinking. But you cannot leave the area unless your alcohol blood level goes down. Or you have a confirmed other driver that will drive instead of you. Like we'll have a big, huge place to drink in. And then that's a proposal that's illegal in Sharia. Sharia does not approve that. But it's just like a middle solution for a country that people do drink. So fine, drink in this area, but don't leave unless you have a driver that's not drunk, or you wait until your system clears, and then you can drive out. That is kind of fair to the people, to the victims of drunk drivers. So we don't want to be fair to the people who wants to drink, and unfair to the people who are victims of the people who drink. Drinking cost a lot. People become alcoholic, they abuse their families, they become miserable. It costs the society a lot. And it's really, really a big problem. Islam, I was once told the guy, I've never drank alcohol, I never tasted alcohol. The guy says, you kidding me? I said, no, I'm not kidding you, I've never drank. He said, you don't know what you're missing. I said, what am I missing? I'm missing nothing. You know? Whatever you don't know can't hurt you, right? Well, I didn't try alcohol, so staying away from alcohol doesn't hurt me. Why? Because I don't know about it. I don't know how it feels to start with. So good, Ryan. I'm not tempted to drink at all because I don't know what is it like to drink. I know that it's bad, you know, and it's better not to drink.
Wait, isn't some like alcohol used for medical purposes too?
No, that's different. No. Anything for medical purposes that the doctors determine it's for medical purposes, it's okay. It's okay to do that. It's totally different. Different area completely. Even drugs for medical purposes are okay. But not for recreation is no. Drinking for recreation is no. Drinking because of depression is no. Drinking because of whatever is no. Well, I don't know how it feels when you drink, and that's very nice, because I don't know, whatever you don't know can't hurt you. Okay? And at the same time, it's better for my family. Much better. And my wife never drank either. It's better for my family, for our family, a family that doesn't drink. Good. You know? But it's fair to the victims too, because we will not, since we don't drink, then we will never drink and drive, right? So we will never have driven accidents or something like that. All right. So here are examples that Sharia is rigid in these areas. Can somebody say drinking is halal in Nevada and haram in California? Would Sharia allow that? Sharia, no. Sharia says whatever is immoral is immoral. Continues to be immoral and will ever be immoral and will never be moral. Even if everybody on earth would do it, the immoral thing, it will never change. It stays as immoral and stays as a sin. Now then, what is the flexibility in Sharia? Flexibility in Sharia is, I want to open my business in a mall. Okay. Or I want to open my business online. Okay. Okay. So Sharia says you have freedom of halal. You have freedom of halal. So Sharia has freedom of halal. alternatives. No freedom and haram alternative. No freedom and haram choices. So basically, what we're trying to say here is that you have freedom of halal alternatives. Opening your business in a mall is halal? Yes. Opening your business in online is halal? Yes. Do you have the freedom? Yes. So how can I select which one, which choice? I select based on what? How do I determine if my business, if it's better to do my business online or in a mall? How do I determine that? Based on what? Huh?
Sharia?
Sharia says both are okay.
Oh.
So, Sharia is flexible.
Logic.
Based on wisdom. Exactly. So then you select based on wisdom. Here you have, you have alternatives, A, B, C. Select based on wisdom. So, a mall, opening your business in a mall or online, how do you make a selection? You make it based on Sharia? No, Sharia says both are okay, but based on wisdom, right? How do you select colleges? You want to go to Stanford? You want to go to Berkeley? Based on Sharia? Sharia will tell you, no, all of those are okay to go to. Stanford is okay. Berkeley is okay. San Jose State is okay.
Yeah.
University? Go ahead.
It's not like freedom of speech and freedom of press,
okay? Yes. Okay in Sharia as long as it abides by the moral laws. That's the only condition. Slander is not allowed in Sharia. So, yes, you can free to speak, but you cannot mock anybody. Not even, you know, not even a religion that you think, like if the people worship cows, for example, you cannot mock them. Go ahead.
Okay, so for like a freedom of speech in like the moral way, so this is like cussing, right?
Basically cussing, mocking, being rude, you know, sometimes being sarcastic. I sometimes use sarcasm. Basically, when you slander somebody, this person will stand up and says, I've been slandered, and asks for his or her rights back. When you mock somebody, this somebody is going to be mad and comes to the judge. Slander will go to the judge. The guy will go to the judge. Mocking, the guys will go to the judge. And so forth. There are judges to enforce laws. And the judges, they have judges for the family, judges for freedom of speech, and judges for those. So freedom of speech has to be just abiding by the moral laws. But what do you want to say? You want to say Obama is good? Fine. You want to say Obama is bad? Sure. All right? How come you're slandering Obama and saying he's bad? No, that's not a slander. Why? Because public officials, it's a fair game to speak against or to the favor of public officials. It's very fair, okay? Because they are public. But how about me? Somebody's writing an article saying I'm bad. No, I have the right to go to the judge with the article and get compensations, file a civil lawsuit against that person. And it happens. Slander lawsuits are happening here in the United States. But that is the freedom is limited by that. So now, which university do you select based on what?
Wisdom.
So, there is a difference between halal and haram, wise and unwise. And this is a very important principle that unfortunately, most people don't understand. People don't understand between the difference between halal and haram, wise and unwise. You can have halal alternative, but they are unwise. Like, for example, just as an example, I can go to Stanford and get a scholarship. Or I can go to Cornell and pay $100,000 a year in tuition. My parents are poor. Okay? Is it halal to go to both places? Yes. Is it wise to choose Cornell over Stanford? Stupid, right? So halal could be stupid. So, you know, one of the halal alternatives could be stupid. In other words, you are a girl. You have five people proposing, asking for your hand. Five people. Is it halal to accept one of them? Yes. I mean, it's halal, but you want to select the best. So it's halal to select any, but it's unwise to select on, to randomly select. Is it wise to randomly select a husband? No. Is it wise to do arranged marriages? No. So what is the wise way? The wise way, is it halal? Yes. But it's very unwise, unfortunately. Divorce, is it halal?
Yes.
Yes. But in many cases, it's unwise. But Islam does not control wise and unwise. He leaves it up to you. This is for your freedom. This is where you can make choices. So you can customize halal and haram to your specific need by saying wise and unwise. Okay? Any haram is not a question at all. It's excluded. All right? So you see Sharia, how flexible is Sharia? It is flexible in the varying aspects that varies with human life, but it is rigid in the fixed aspects of human life. A man has to be a man with a woman, having a relationship, living with neighbors, going to the market, having a government. All these things are fixed. They don't change with time or place. You don't get a lull. If you change them, then you get a big lull. Okay? So now, what about the certain examples, and we're going to go cover those next time. For example, the Islamic laws allows girls, young girls, to get married. Sharia laws make them halal, but is subject to wisdom. Halal, but subject to what? Wisdom. Okay. So, what if you make them haram? What's wrong with that? What happens? Do you know what happens when you make them haram?
Make what haram?
Make young girls marry haram. Like the American law makes it haram. Then what's the problem?
Belong here?
I'm not sure, but...
It was outside. Sarah? It might, yeah. You were using it from this class? Is it from this class?
Yes.
Okay.
You should bring it back.
Make sure.
Okay, so question, is it halal? Yes, but it's subject to what? Wisdom. What if I make it haram? United States makes it haram. So what is the price of making early marriage haram? What's the price? Lots of pregnant teenagers in without husbands. Okay, so if you look at the statistics, what is the difference, by the way, between a pregnant teenager in a Muslim country and a pregnant teenager in the United States? What's the difference? If you have a pregnant teenager in a Muslim country, huh?
Well, in a Muslim country, the girl would be shunned? Or?
No. Because it'd be halal there, so basically the girl, like, it wouldn't really matter, but here, the girl would be, like, shunned because usually girls don't...
Even worse than that. In a Muslim country, the girl would have a husband. In the United States, the girl would not have a husband. Why? Because it's illegal. You see what I'm saying, the difference? A pregnant teenager in a Muslim country will have a what? A husband. A pregnant teenager in the United States will not have a husband. You see? So is it wise? Is it right to make the, to restrain young girls from, teenage girls from marrying? It is subject to wisdom. If you think that your daughter wants to get married, so you should allow her to get married. If not, then you will have a pregnant teenager soon. Okay? You know the problem. Look at the statistics, how many pregnant teenagers we have in the United States. Okay? So Islam says, if the girl is of this kind, the kind that wants to have relationship, then let's make it through marriage. So that she will have a husband that looks after her and look after the children. But here the American law is forcing the pregnant teenager not to have a husband. It's like you can't have a husband. It's illegal to have a husband. And then I'm end up as a pregnant teenager as a single mom. Right? So the guy, my boyfriend, walks away from me to another girl, and then I'm stuck with the baby. How could this be fair? And if I try to marry the guy, the law will say, no, you can't marry him. But this is kidding. You know what I'm saying? Pregnant teenager statistics will tell you that this is not right. And Sharia is superior in this particular area. So that's an example. And then next time we'll cover more examples that show the superiority of Sharia over man-made laws. Any questions? All right, you're dismissed. Moralities. Sharia doesn't dig into private life inside. It digs on the public space. So Sharia will target the public space. And people can do anything they want, basically, behind closed doors.
Okay.
So it does not dig into the private space. It protects the public space. The public space, the Sharia has the right to interfere in the public space.
Yeah, but it's like, someone
backbites
about you, like...
No, nobody's going to blame that person unless you raise a lawsuit. So here, the United States, the same thing. If somebody slanders, was slandered. It is pretty much like slandering.
Okay, so...
But if you...
Like, how old? Like, kids slandering? Kids backbite about each other all the time.
See, that's the difference between halal and haram and wisdom. At this point, now, Islam steps away, wisdom comes in. Wisdom comes in, it depends. In one school, if it's a problem, then the principal can limit. The principal has the authority to choose what is wise and unwise. In my school, if it's a big problem, I'm going to make it haram or make it unlawful. It's a local rule called local rule. At another school, kids are nice, then I don't have to worry about that. But again, halal and haram is different than wise and unwise. You can have halal, unwise halal. Like divorce, for example. Could be wise, could be unwise. Now, how do you choose? It's halal to divorce, it's halal not to divorce. But how do you choose between alternatives? Divorce or not divorce, based on wisdom. You calculate, when you have the children, I have this, I have that, this is going to impact my life in this way. You know what I mean?
But isn't it really fair, like... What if you...